Amen. Ain't the Lord good?
Amen.
Yes, sir. The Lord is good. I'm going to tell the preacher he's the only one that was late tonight. Well, the Lord's good, but he's down there doing the work for the Lord. I heard one preacher say many years ago that the rest home was an untouched mission field. And I agree with them. I've preached many times, and some of the best services that I've ever been in has been in the rest home. Those people that can't get out, they can't go to the house of God, but they love the Lord, and they love preaching, and love old-time singing and old-time preaching. Amen. Well, it's a real joy. This is about eight or nine nights straight in a row that I've been in the house of the Lord, and thank the Lord for the privilege to be here. And Brother James did a good job tonight carrying the service out. We appreciate that. God is so good to us. I believe I told you one night that I was 23 years old before I ever got saved. And I was 23 years old. I was 23 years old before I ever knew how to be saved. Nobody had ever took the word of God and sat down and showed me how to be saved until I was 23 years old. Now that's been 44 years ago, so you know how old I am if you can count pretty good. But the best life that I've ever lived is a life of being saved.
Amen.
And I heard one preacher say this on the radio just a few weeks ago. There is not enough lust in the world to satisfy mankind. There's not enough sin in the world to satisfy mankind. So if you got your Bibles, and I want you to turn to the book of Romans chapter number 1 or chapter number 3. And if you're physically able, I'd love for you to stand. And turn, if you will, to verse number 20. Let's begin reading with verse number 21. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 21. You'll find justification by faith in Christ crucified. And you'll find, my friend, the alone remedy for sin. In Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In verse number 23, very familiar verse of scripture. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I'll be taking my text verse from that verse in just a moment. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption has always been in Christ Jesus and always will be in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Whom God hath set from forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. It's all about his righteousness because of all of our righteousness, according to Isaiah 64, is as filthy rags. They are filthy rags. And he said, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works. Nay, but by the law of faith. Now, the law has never saved anybody. Amen. And never could save anybody. But the law is our schoolmaster, pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that can save and the one that will save. And he fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. In verse number 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now look, if you will, please, in verse 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? There's two questions that's asked in verse 29, and then Paul gives the answer to those questions. Question number one, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? And then he said, yes, of the Gentiles also. Paul said, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In verse number 30, the Bible said this, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. It said in verse number 31 now, he said, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now let's pray. My Father, I do want to thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us, and thank you, Lord, for saving us, and thank you for protecting us on the highway. Thank you for the privilege of being in the house of God again tonight. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, if there's one here lost, undone without Christ, I pray this would be the night the Holy Spirit of God would speak to them and let them see their need of a Savior. And then, Lord, may they jump their pride and get on this altar and call upon the holy and the righteous God and ask you to save their soul. And I'm glad that you will. Truly, Lord, speak to every individual in the house of the Lord tonight and revive us again in all that you do. We'll love you and thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on the subject tonight, God's simple plan of salvation. Now, the scriptures that I'm going to use, and most of them is found in the book of Romans. They're all familiar scriptures. Now, just because they are familiar scriptures, and you've heard them preached from many a times, and you've read them many a times, don't you ever forget there's power in the Word of God. And don't just skip over these familiar verses and think that they're not important, because all of the Word of God is very important. And so we find the Romans road to salvation. Not only can you find the truth to salvation in the book of Romans, but you can find the truth to salvation in every book in the Bible if you will just read it and study it with an open heart and an open mind. But let's look, my friend, to the reason all are sinners. Why are all sinners? In verse number 23, the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, wait just a minute. You'll find the word short is found in verse number 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want you to listen to the meaning of the word short, and then also listen to the meaning of the word glory. Now, the word short means to fall short. It means to fall short. And that's what we were. We come short of the glory of God. It means also to miss the mark. We all miss the mark, ladies and gentlemen. Every one of us. It means to suffer need. That's why every one of us, Brother James, must be born again. Because we have missed the mark. Because we have come short of the mark. We have to fail short or to fall short. And we all suffer the need of salvation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the upright man. And the Bible said Jesus told him in John chapter 3. And in verse number 6 and 7, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. He was a ruler of the Jews, and to be a ruler of the Jews, you had to be a good, outstanding, upright citizen to be elected to that office. But Jesus told Nicodemus, I know that you are an upright person and a respected person, but I want to tell you, Nicodemus, if you ever want to see heaven, if you ever want to enter into heaven, you must be born again. And the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Now the psalmist said in Psalm chapter 51 and verse number 5, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In Jeremiah 17 verse number 9, the Bible said, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word short also means to be destitute. It means to be destitute. And so we came short of the glory of God. The word short again means to fall short of. It means to miss the mark. It means to suffer need. It means to be in want. Oh, I was in want of salvation. I was in destitute of salvation, my friend. And so were you. Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria, because he knew there was a woman that would be at Jacob's well that was a wicked woman and a husband stealer and a home breaker. And my friend, she had been married 5 times and was shacking up with a man and wasn't even married to him. And Jesus knew that. But Jesus loved her. And Jesus knew that she would get saved there at Jacob's well. Brother, I'm glad that God still loves old sinners. I don't care how far in sin you've gone. I'm glad if you'll come to Jesus Christ, I'm glad and call upon him, I'm glad he'll save your soul. Oh, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15. The Bible said in Luke 19 verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Brother Donald, I never got saved until somebody told me that I was a sinner. Somebody told me that I was lost. Somebody told me I was going to hell. But somebody told me that Jesus loved me. Somebody told me that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And Romans chapter 5 in verse number 8, the Bible said that God loved us while we were yet sinners. I'm glad God committed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to tell you, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to tell you that God loves you. I'll tell you that God will save you. I'll tell you that God will cleanse you. I'll tell you that God will make a brand new creature out of you. Amen. And so the reason all are sinners is because we've come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. We suffer need. We be in want. And my friend, we're destitute. Then you find the word honor. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then you find the word honor. Come short of the glory of God. The word glory there means honor. The word glory there means praise. And the word glory there means worship. I could not worship God until I got saved. You cannot worship God until you get saved. I cannot really honor God until I got saved. And you cannot honor God until you got saved by the grace of God. And you could not honestly praise the Lord until you got saved by the grace of God. Yes, sir. I mean, one man got us all in a whole lot of trouble. And that one man was Adam. He's the first Adam. But I'm glad the second Adam The Lord Jesus Christ got us out of all the trouble that we were in. Isn't that a blessing from God? The second Adam is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One man can get a whole bunch of people in a lot of trouble. And Adam got everybody in a lot of trouble. But one man can get a whole lot of people that's in trouble out of a whole lot of trouble. I was in a whole lot of trouble. Well, you say, have you ever been in jail? No, never been in jail, thank God. I've been in jail a few times to preach the word of God and to sing, but I've never been locked up in the jail. But I want to tell you something, my friend. All of us, I want to say it again, all of us were in trouble with God and with heaven before we ever got saved by the grace of God. Now, I want to show you what one man did to get us all in trouble. Then I want to show what another man did to get us all out of it. Oh, me. I'm glad I'm not condemned anymore. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not out the flesh but out the Spirit, in Romans 8 and in verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to you and I that are saved by the good grace of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, amen, just believe on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I've been passed from spiritual death unto life. You've been passed from spiritual death unto life. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And that word quickened means to make alive. I had no spiritual life until I got saved. And friend, if you're not saved, you have physical life, but you don't have any spiritual life. And to have spiritual life, you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. Look in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 12. Through Adam you find sin and death. You say, preacher, why am I a sinner? I'm telling you, you're a sinner because of Adam's sin. Adam's sin, you'll find that in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. But look at verse number 12. Paul said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Brother, I'm saying the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at verse number 13 and 14. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude or the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now, verse 12, 13, 14, you find through Adam is sin and death. Oh, I'm glad it doesn't stop there. If it stopped there, none of us would have any hope. None of us would have any help. We'd all still be condemned. We'd all still be in our sin. We'd all still be on the road to hell. But it doesn't stop there. It talks about what the first Adam did, and it talks about what the second Adam did. Amen. I want to thank God for the second Adam. Look what he said. But as the offense, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Amen. Now, the second Adam is a free gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And the Bible said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Didn't cost me a thing to be saved. Didn't cost you a thing to be saved. But it cost Jesus every drop of his precious blood. It cost God his only begotten son. It cost heaven the most precious jewel there, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm so glad that he loved me. I'm so glad that he saved me. I'm so glad he forgave me. I'm so glad that he cleansed me. I'm so glad that he changed me. I'm so glad that he challenges me, my friend. Watch this. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man. Who is that one man? Jesus Christ. Brother Donald, no wonder the devil hates the name of Jesus. No wonder the devil doesn't want our political leaders to pray in the name of Jesus. He doesn't want us to use the name of Jesus. We can talk about everybody else and everything else and use everybody else's name except the name of Jesus. And the devil knows there's power and purity and praise in the name of Jesus. And it's a name above every name. It's a name everybody is going to bow to. Every sinner's going to bow at the feet of Jesus and confess to God that Jesus is Lord. Every tongue's going to confess, and every knee's going to bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, wait a minute. The Bible said, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. What does justification mean? It means that when we get saved, God makes us as though we had never sinned. I like that song says, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. They've all been washed away by the blood of the Son of God. Hey, you won't never, listen to me, I don't care who you are, how old you are, how young you are, you won't never forget the sins that you committed before you got saved. Your neighbor won't never forget them, and the devil won't never forget them, but I'm glad God has. Preacher, I'm glad God has forgotten all about my sin, and he don't even remember them anymore. Woo! You say, I don't understand that. Well, join the crowd. I didn't understand it either. I just accepted it. I just believed it. I just got in. And you can get in. You say, I'm not a sinner. Well, see, you have never seen yourself lost. If you sat there tonight and you've never been saved, well, you've never seen yourself lost. I was witnessing a man in the rest home just a few weeks ago. And I asked him where he went to church. He told me what church he went to. And I said, well, how long have you been saved? He said, oh, man, I've been saved all my life. All my life? Well, he wasn't born saved. And you weren't born saved. I quoted Psalm 51, verse number 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, when a child dies before they reach the age of accountability, we know the Lord takes that child on to glory. But when you reach the age of accountability, whatever age that is, then you need to realize that you are a sinner. You may not believe that you are a sinner, but you are a sinner, whether you believe you are a sinner or not. And when you die, you're going to realize that you needed God, but it was too late for you. Now, in verse number 17 of Romans 5, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they, the Bible said, which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And in verse number 18, the Bible said this. Look at it. Therefore, as by as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace superseded and went beyond that. There is grace for every need. There's grace for every trial. There's grace for every tear. There's grace, 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 grace that is greater than all of our sins. There's saving grace for the sinner. There's living grace for the child of God. And then when you come down to the end of life's journey, there's dying grace for every child of God. That's enough to make a backslid Baptist get right with God and say hallelujah. Oh, what a saving. Now let me give you one more verse here. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, the Bible says in the book of Galatians 5 and verse number 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And the word leaven means dough in a state of fermentation, which is a type of sin. Leavening in the Bible is a type of sin. Now listen to me. It is a type of infectious sin, according to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 5 through 7. It is a type of false doctrine in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. And all are guilty sinners before God. Oh, let me quote it again. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 20. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I found that I was a sinner by reading that King James Bible. I said my King James Bible. That's all I got is a King James Bible. That's all I need is a King James Bible. That's all I want is a King James Bible. Amen, praise God. You've got the Holy Ghost in you that'll teach you the Word of God if you're saved. And if you're not saved, you don't even have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. I say, praise the Lord. He's good, ain't he? You better believe he's good. So he said, the reason that all have sinned is found in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means this preacher that's been saved for 44 years. That means the mandolin player. That means the preacher and the preacher's wife. Right. And this lady and this man and this woman. Whether you believe it or not, or whether you don't have to believe nothing I'm preaching. You can walk out that door. You can walk out that door. You can go through that door and go through that door. You can go out of this ministry. I don't believe one thing that preacher said. That's your privilege. You can believe it or not believe it. But if you die and don't believe what I said and don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll wake up in a place called hell fire. And I preached on it Friday night. It's got real fire, real flame, and it's hot and it burns. And people that die lost, undone without God, they go there because of their stinking pride, and they would not humble themselves and call on God and ask God to save them, and they go to hell and pay for a sin debt, and it never gets paid for. They refused to receive the one that gave his only begotten son. God Almighty gave his only begotten son. And Jesus Christ is the supreme sacrifice. He died for my sins. And he died for your sins.
Amen.
Good
preacher. Therefore, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Isn't that found in Psalm 119, verse 165? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In Isaiah, is it 23, verse 26, verse number 3? Is that the right verse for that? Let's make sure. Did somebody say yeah? Isaiah 26, 3 won't take me but a minute. And I'm going to find it here. And I want to get it just right now. Isaiah 20. Let's see if it's 26 or 23. Why, it sure is 26, 23. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now look what verse number 4 said. Woo! I said, woo! Verse 4 said, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength.
Amen.
Sir, the man that witnessed to me, I was in a service with him on Saturday night. And he witnessed to me, and he was a Christian, and he loved God. And you could tell there's a difference. And he said, I said, sir, if I could live like you live, and I said this one night last week, if I could live the life you're living, I'd give my heart to Jesus. He said, you can. I said, how? He said, to live right will get on the inside of you. And he quoted Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
The live right will come on the inside. And now that I'm saved by the grace of God, and now that you're saved by the grace of God, that doesn't make us perfect, no. But it does warn us, and when we do things we shouldn't do, and we think things we shouldn't do, it tears our heart up.
That's right.
Amen.
Do we get it right with God and ask God to forgive us?
Amen.
That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 46 and verse number 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse number 4, Philippians 3, verse number 3, he said, have no confidence in the flesh, because it will fail you and let you down. I got home Friday night. We stopped down at, on the way after we left church, we stopped down at Wendy's. You know, the bigger the burger, the better the burger, the burger, the bigger at Wendy's. And better at Wendy's. And, we stopped down, so it was a little after 11 o'clock when we got home, I think, on Friday night. But I had a message on my machine. It said, Preacher Paul, I called a friend of mine last night. He hadn't been to church in about 4 weeks now. He said, I'm sinning. He said, I've sinned against God. I'm out of the will of God. I've done some things I shouldn't do, and it's tearing me up. It's tearing me all to pieces. He's living with his girlfriend, and he told her, when he got right, he said, look, you got a house and I got a house. He said, you're going to live at your house and I'm going to live at my house. We'll keep on dating, but we're not living like this. It's not, I can't stand it. I'm miserable.
Right.
Holy Ghost of God will let you know when you do wrong. And you better get right. He'll let me know when I do wrong. And I have to get right for it.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. God is so good, ain't he?
Yes, he is.
Well, there's a reason all are sinners. Now, I've given you Bible. I didn't give you what I think. I didn't come up here to preach my opinions. Everybody has an opinion. I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm preaching the holy word of God. I mean, after all, Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now then, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you in John 15, verse number 3. John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. And then he said, thy word is truth. sanctify them. What does that mean? That means that God just sets you apart for his use. Nothing wrong with the word sanctification. God just sets us apart, and he wants to use us. And we have to keep ourselves usable if we're going to be used of God.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. I am too. Now let me say, let me give you something else. Listen, gentlemen, let me finish now, okay? The reason all are sinners, and then the results of sin. Sin has got a result to it.
Yes, it does.
I mean, I heard a preacher say this. Y'all ever know Roger Williams, evangelist Roger Williams? Raise your hand. Man, that's a preaching machine, wasn't he? He said, I'll tell you something. He said, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And then he said it will keep you longer than you want to stay. And then he said it will cost you more than you want to pay. It's a God's truth, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Sure will. Sure will, buddy. He'll take you farther than you want to go. You never thought you'd ever go that far. Never. And it'll keep you a whole lot longer than you want to stay. Naomi and Elimelech, in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1, they weren't planning on staying down there no 10 years. No, sir. I know people right now that's out in sin, Brother James. They weren't aiming to go that far. They weren't aiming to stay that long down there. They didn't know it was going to cost them as much as it's costing them. Boy, I'm glad I found out. I like that song. That's one of my favorite songs. Like the prodigal son, I wandered in darkness. I traded my life for a world of good time. No peace in my heart I ever could find. And I got so tired, Lord, eating after the swine. Then he said, so I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread. They're waiting for me. I see my Father coming down to greet me. And I'm willing to be, Lord, just a servant for thee. Oh, like the prodigal son, I wandered from Jesus, but the shepherd sought me through the heat and the cold. The nighty and night he left in the fold to find this lost sheep that was hungry and cold. Now, oh, I believe I'll go home and eat with the Father. The table is spread. They're waiting for me. I see the Father coming down to greet me.
Yes.
And I'm willing to be, Lord, just a servant for thee. Hey, brother, keep on singing that song. That makes a devil mad every time you sing it. Sing it loud, sing it clear, sing it everywhere you go. Hallelujah. Praise God, the Lord's able. Amen. Woo! Man, what a Monday night. This is Monday, isn't it? Praise God and the Lamb. I'm glad I'm in, aren't you? I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad I'm on the side. That's all going to happen. Amen. Praise God and the Lamb for more. Yeah, praise Him, praise God. He's worthy, ain't it? Oh, yeah, He's worthy. Yeah, the reason all are sinners, and then the result of sin. For the wages of sin is death. The word wages in verse number 23 means payment for work performed. Mm-hmm. Means spiritual death. Now, how many have worked a public job? Raise your hand. How many of you used to work a public job? Raise your hand. How many ain't never worked a day in your life? Raise your hand. You work And you're expected at the end of that work day or week, you are expecting a paycheck. You gave it your best. You worked. You gave it your best. You gave it everything. Now you're expecting payday. Give me that check. I worked for it. I want it. Well, I want to tell you, sin has a paycheck. Don't you ever forget it. Sin pays large dividends. They don't never change. The wages of sin are always the same. They never change. Wait a minute. For the wages of sin is death. Means spiritual death in the lake of fire. Turn in your Bibles in Revelation chapter number 1. I preached from it Friday night, but it must be read again tonight. The Bible says in verse number 8 of chapter number 21, here's your next door neighbors in hell if you die and go there. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part, listen to this, in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice in verse number 10 of chapter number 20, the doom of Satan. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And look at verse number 15 in chapter number 20 of Revelation. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The second death and the lake of fire are identical terms. And are used of the eternal state of the wicked because of their unbelief and because of the rejection of God. Their eternal state is one of eternal death, separated from God in their sins. In their sins. You will reap what you sowed. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Amen.
Man witnessed to me, and I was 23, and I said, no.
Amen.
I said, no, I'm not going to get saved right now. I said, I'm going to sow some wild oats. And I said, I'll get saved when I get about 45. Yeah. I was 23 then. He said, you go ahead and sow them wild oats. They'll come up. And he said, suppose that you don't live to be 45. And then he quoted Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Whereas thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth a little time and then vanisheth away. In James, is that James chapter what? 4 and verse number 14? Oh, yeah. And you know something? A few years back, it's been about 5 or 6 years now, I preached a funeral service at the funeral home, one of the funeral homes in Madison. And that place was packed out that afternoon. And this lady was saved that we had the funeral service for. And I said, the devil won't ever tell you not to get saved. He'll tell you to put it off until next week or next month or next year. Well, 1 week after that, that was on Sunday evening. And the next Sunday, I got a call telling me that this young man got saved by the grace of God, and I called him up and talked to him. He said, when you make that statement, it was just like God stuck a dagger in me. He said, because preacher, for the last 3 years, the devil has been telling me, put it off till next month. Put it off till next month. He said, I never heard anybody make that statement, but it got a hold of me, buddy.
Amen.
You know, I didn't get on his toes. I got it. God didn't get on his toes. He got right in his heart.
Amen.
Amen.
And if anybody ever tells you, boy, you really stepped on my toes tonight, you tell them you was aiming too low because you wasn't aiming for the toes. You was aiming for the heart, buddy. I tell you, amen. Aiming for the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I didn't have a bad foot. I didn't have a bad hand. I had a bad heart. Praise God. And you got a bad heart. And I'm glad Jesus will give you a brand new one. Son, I'm feeling good right now. Glory to God.
I don't want to feel that good or not. Oh, listen to me. If you'll read verse number John, I tell you what I'm going to do. You turn to John chapter 8 just a minute. I'm going to show you what Jesus said to that crowd. Jesus said, you think you're going to go where I am, but you're not going to go where I am if you don't get saved. Jesus said that crowd in John 8 and verse number 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way and you shall seek me. And ye shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. And then saith the Jews, will he kill himself? No, he's not going to commit suicide. No. Because he saith, whether I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. And then he said in verse 24, I say therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And boy, I didn't want to die in my sins. Oh, no. After 1,000 years, I'm coming down to the end of the message now. After 1,000 years in the lake of fire, the beasts and the false prophets are still there, undestroyed. The words forever and ever means to the ages of the ages. Eternal in the sense of unending eternal separation from God, family, and friends.
When we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing. Brother Donald, I never sing Amazing Grace, the four verses. And when I sing that fourth verse, I always think, when we've been there for 10,000 years praising God, people that die lost without God have been in hell for 10,000 years. And just as we have just begun to live after 10,000 years, those that die lost and go to hell just begin to suffer after they've been there suffering for 10,000 years. If I'm a lying, that book ain't shown. I'm preaching the book tonight.
Now, wait a minute. Let me give you this. God shows us that all have sinned. God shows us the result of sin. Then God shows us the way of salvation.
Woo!
Amen. Amen. Turn on over a few verses. Romans chapter number 10. I'm winding down now. Romans 10, 9, 10 through 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Then he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the only way of salvation. The word confess means to acknowledge. Means to acknowledge that Christ Jesus is the Lord, and Christ Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and the third day was resurrected again for our justification, and 40 days later ascended back to glory. He now sits on the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for you and I that are saved by the grace of God. That word, believe, is in your Bible in the book of John over 90 times. It means to trust in. It means to depend upon. It means to rely upon. I love that song,
My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. I got a message I preach out of Matthew chapter number 7 on the two foundations. One of them is solid and the other is sand. And Brother Roloff said, I'm glad I'm on the rock and I'm not a sand man. I'm a rock man. Got a blessing from God. He's so good to us, isn't he? Well, that's what God wanted me to preach tonight. I was going to preach on Elijah. And then I thought about preaching on Jonah. So I got one more night, so I think tomorrow night I'm going to preach on Elijah and Jonah. You say, uh-oh, I ain't coming. Well, just coming, I may not, because I may not preach either one of them. But I thought I was going to preach on Jonah tonight or Elijah. But I'm glad I'm back to God.
Amen.
Brother Donald, I'm glad I'll go back down that road. It'll take me about an hour and 10 minutes to get home if the traffic is good. But I'll go back down that road tonight, dear brother. Saying, thank you, Lord, that you led me in the right direction.
Amen.
Preach just exactly what God wanted preached tonight. You know something? There's somebody in this church tonight, no doubt, that's lost, undone without God, that needed this message. And then there just could be somebody in this building tonight that's been saved, and you're in a backslid condition, and you needed this message. And then there's probably every one of us in this building tonight, if you're in the perfect will of God, we needed the message because we have a loved one that's lost or a friend that's lost and going to hell. And we need to tell them why they are sinners. And we need to tell them the result of sin. And then we need to tell them the way out of sin for salvation is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If you were going down the road,
hallelujah,
You didn't even know who lived in a certain house, but you went by that house and you saw the flames of fire coming out from under the eaves or around the windows, and you knew that house was on fire. You would slow down and do everything that you could. Listen just a minute. Hold on just a minute, okay? Wait just a minute. I want everybody to get this. If you saw that house was burning, and the flames is coming out from under the eaves and man coming through the roof or coming out from around the windows, and your first thought would be, somebody may be in there. I've got to stop. I've got to help them. I've got to call 911 or I've got to get some help. There's somebody in there. Somebody may die in those flames, the fire. You do everything you can to pull them out, wouldn't you? Okay. You and I that are saved with the grace of God, we'll be doing everything we can to snatch the sinner from a place that's going to hell. We ought to be witnessing and giving out gospel tracts and telling folk about Jesus.
Yes.
Tell them they don't have to die and go to hell.
Yes.
Okay, let's stand with our heads, stand to our feet, please, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking on. The pianist to come, the songwriter to come. Y'all have done a good job with the singing this week. Thank you very much. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many say, Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking on because I'm not going to embarrass you. See, Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died in the next 5 minutes, I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? If you know you're saved, raise your hand. Don't raise it if you don't know it. Don't raise it if you don't know it. You may take your hand down. How many say, Preacher, I'm here tonight. Let's see those hands again. Please raise your hand if you know you're saved. If you know you're saved, okay. Take them down. I'm not going to come to you, and I'm not going to send anybody to you. I just want to let you know that God loves you, and God wants you saved, and this church wants you saved, and every individual in this building wants you saved. And I want to see you saved. You're probably the reason that God laid this message on my heart tonight. I don't even know you, but God does.
You say, preacher, I'm lost without God, and I want you to pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Would you pray that God would save me? Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher? I just want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand right now? Is there anybody in the building? Anybody? You see that hand. My Father, thank you for letting me preach the truth tonight. The truth will set us free. We thank you that it set me free over 44 years ago. Thank you for it, Lord. Now I pray for this person that did not raise their hand either way, and Lord, speak to their heart. Lord, if they're not saved, speak to their heart and save them before they leave this building tonight. Please do. Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, before I end this prayer with an amen, how many would say, preacher, I'm the building tonight, and I'm closer to God tonight than I've ever been in my life. Would you raise your hand? You're closer to him tonight than you've ever been in your life. That's a hard question, isn't it? All right, you may take your hand down. How many say, preacher, I got a loved one that's lost that needs God, and I want you to pray for him. Would you raise your hand all over the building? I want the members to come. I want the visitors to come tonight. And I want you to get on this altar as she plays and as they sing a verse or two. And I want you to pray for that person, your family or your friend or your neighbor that's lost, and pray that God would save them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go ahead and sing.
Page 388. Have that on the way.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Yielded. You that's lost, would you come while she plays through another verse? Would you come? Would you take that first step toward this altar? We'll have one of the men to pray with you. If you'll come tonight realizing that you are a sinner and you need to be saved, why don't you come tonight and say, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost and I want you to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and save my soul. You see, Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you do it right now? Would you do it? You that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, would you just look this way tonight? Would you look this way and say, preacher, I sure would love to be saved tonight. I don't want to go to hell when I die, preacher. I don't want to go to hell. Would you come and just kneel up at this altar? Kneel right there and call on God and ask God to have mercy upon you. Save your soul. Would you do it? If you're here and you're lost without Christ and you don't want to come by yourself, if you would just speak to that person that's sitting beside of you and ask them to go to the altar with you and pray with you, they would be more than glad to do so because they want you saved as well. Pray with this woman. Thank you. Pray with this woman. Yes. Why don't you come tonight? Won't you come? Don't you want to be saved tonight? Don't you want the Lord to save you? Just ask that person right beside him and come on tonight. This might be your last opportunity to be saved. Come on, let him save you. I wish I'd have got saved. I was 23. Preacher, I wish I'd have got saved when I was 5 or 6. Teenage years wasted for the devil. didn't know God. Oh, so you take a person, get saved when they 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. Not only is a soul saved, but a life from sin is saved. Ain't that a blessing? Brother, I want you to, how about you and your daddy? How about y'all standing right over here? Right over here. Right there. Come up into the altar and just stand. Turn around and face the congregation. And then the pastor's going to stand right over here. Pastor's standing right here. Brother James, how about you coming and standing right over here? And if you want to be saved, as Brother Billy leads us in another stanza, right here's two men that will show you how to be saved. And right over here's two men that will show you how to be saved. And all you got to do is say, yes, I want Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Lord, I receive you now. Save my soul. You just pray in your own words, something that simple, and God will save you. Sing another verse, my brother.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Come on.
Search me.
Is anybody on this side? You need to come right now. Could be your last opportunity. Anybody on this side? You need to come right now. Keep standing there.
44 years ago, plus, I came to church that Sunday morning, June the 28th, 1907. I did this one right here, no matter where I go. I was sitting on that side of the church right back yonder. Probably over 200 people in that church that Sunday morning. I was under Holy Ghost conviction. That means I was in trouble. I knew I needed to get saved. And they played the first stanza. Just as I am without one plea. They started playing. The preacher's standing right along and he said, anybody that feel like somebody's here this morning that needs God, you want the Lord to save you, why don't you come? Why don't you come this morning? If you want God to save you, it's just like it was yesterday, brother. Why don't you let the Lord save you? You know you're lost. You know you need God. Why don't you let the Lord save you? I'm going to show you what I did. Show what I did, preacher. Sister, would you get over to Just As I Am? Just start playing Just As I Am. Listen. Woo! That's about all they play on that piano. Glory to God, I took that first step, and it seemed like I could just took one more step, and I got down to that altar. Looked at the preacher by the hand and said, you want Christ as your Savior at this point? I said, yes, sir. I'm a sinner. I've lost. I'm going to hell. Lord, come in my heart and save me. So, woo!
Amen.
And I could feel like I could jump clean over that pulpit yonder way, right?
Amen.
Sing a verse of that. Page, what is it?
249.
How many?
249.
249. Sing it. Sing two more stanzas. We're going home. Nobody comes.
As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
One more.
Man, in our church, one of the founders of the church at Westside over 52 years ago, he got saved. Brother Bobby Robinson was preaching in the Community Baptist Church about 10 to 15 miles from where our church is now. And they were singing. Bobby said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to sing one more stanza just for you. Whoever you are that needs to be saved, one more stanza. We're going home. And Brother Paul Farrell said that was for me. Sing one more. He came down that aisle and got saved by the grace of God and lived for Jesus many years. One more stanza.
Just as I am. And waiting not to bring.
coming. I'm honored and thrilled that you came tonight in the service.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.
Amen.
You need to pray tomorrow night. There is no telling.
Thank you.
Can I tell you something?
Tell us something, my brother. Yeah.
That was on Friday night.
Friday night.
Friday night on the second shift. I went in on the third shift on Monday night, Sunday night. And this man come running in and said, "Well, mister, mister, mister." And I stopped. "Are you talking to me?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You know that young man was there. He had plenty of time. Says he didn't.
Yes, sir.
Man, you know when you put it on.
Yeah. All right, amen. Right.
I got a message I preach on the danger of delay. The danger of delay.
Yes.
It's dangerous.
It is that.
And I hope God takes this message. I know it won't return void. We had a revival meeting one night, and this young couple was there, and God was dealing with them. And they didn't get saved, but they left out of the church and went all the way out to the car. And when they got to the car, they said, "We can't leave this church until we get right with God." So they came back in, and I prayed with the young man. My wife prayed with the young lady. They got right with God that night. Holy Ghost conviction didn't leave them when they went out that door.
That's right.
So we're going to pray the Holy Ghost conviction won't leave you if you're here lost and you don't know Christ. We're going to pray the Holy Ghost won't quit dealing with you.
Amen.
We're going to pray that you go home tonight and you got the same covers on your bed, but they seem to be too short and too narrow. And if that's the case, and if that happens to you, you just realize you got the same bed, you got the same cover. The Holy Ghost is trying to tell you, you need to get out from under that cover and fall on your knees beside your bed and call on God and ask God to save you.
Amen.
Then you get back in your bed and your cover has stretched out longer and wider and you sleep a whole lot better.
Amen, brother.
Woo!
Glory.
Man, our church got, he did that right at his home. We'd visited him 20 years. And on that New Year's Eve night, he couldn't sleep, man. He fell on his face that night, got saved. Come to church the next Sunday. Been in church for 20 years.
Amen.
It works, Brother Billy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I was hoping he was going to get to preach a little while after I got here. I didn't get here a little late. The reason for that is because I forgot last week that I was supposed to be at Roman Eagle tonight. And I couldn't forsake your people over there, so I went over there tonight. Now I want to leave something with you tonight. They come out, but they come out with a wheelchair.
Yes, sir.
Some of them come out, can't walk, can't hear, can't talk, can't see, but they came out. We're here, we can walk, we can talk, we can see, we can hear. Now, what are we going to do with that? You know what I told them? I said, you've got the most powerful thing that God speaks about in His Word that you can use. And that's prayer.
Amen.
And I says, I had a lady one time in the hospital tell me, says, I went and visited, I was talking to her for about 15, 20 minutes, Brother Paul. Had prayer with her, and I left. Was going out the door, and I pulled the door wide open. I was getting ready to step out into the hall. And the door was getting ready to come close. She says, sir, would you come back here? I want to ask you something. She did. And I went back into her, and I went beside of her bed, and I asked her. I says, yes, ma'am, what can I do for you? She said, that's a pretty prayer. She says, I wished I could pray like you did. I says, now, my prayer was short. I said, but how long did me and you talk? She said, I don't know, 15, 20, 25 minutes. I said, that's all God wants from you, just to talk to him.
Amen.
I said, we put prayer, I mean, the Bible speaks of prayer, but he just wants us to talk to him.
Amen.
Because it goes so long and don't hear from us. He just wants us to talk to him.
That's right, Christian.
And I said, that's all you gotta do. You, if you ain't got nobody else to talk to the Lord about, you can just talk to him about me. If you want to, you can run me down. It don't make no difference. Just talk to him about me. Well, I'll tell you what. You got the same thing. You got the same opportunity. But he's given us the opportunity now. Where we just don't sit down in a wheelchair in a nursing home and can't go out and visit. We can also pray. We can also talk to God and also be a witness for him.
Yes, sir.
We don't witness for him, ain't nobody else. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Paul. Hallelujah. How many of you enjoyed that tonight?
Amen.
Praise God, I did. Hallelujah.
Yay!
Praise God, I've enjoyed every bit of it. You know something? I enjoy serving God.
Amen.
What ability God's given me, I'm going to give it to him.
Amen.
Because he gave it to me.
Christian people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I
don't know who Brother James picked on to, asked to pray up. Pray, but I tell you what, I'm going to ask my former pastor, he was one of them, Brother Roy Newton, that's here tonight, I'd like for you to pray for this and just don't dismiss us, we're going to just unhook. Amen. We don't dismiss around here, we just unhook.
Amen.
All right, Brother Roy. Yes,